An amazing, amazing song. He has saved us. He has bought us with His blood. And there's not enough thanks in the world to thank Him for what He has done in our life. Amen, church? I hope you know that this morning. Well, you have me this morning. Jimmy is on vacation. They headed this morning to Michigan. So pray that they have safe travels on their way up there. They're going to the Upper Peninsula. They're going to go to Mackinac Island and a whole list of stuff. Carla asked Savannah for her itinerary. So it's a long, long list. She basically, every time we go on vacation, she might as well just present a PowerPoint to me of all the things that we're going to do on vacation. So Carla's like, Savannah, I need that. But man, the Lord is good. I'm so uplifted and enriched by the songs that we sing because Jesus saved our life and Jesus is our cornerstone and Jesus is glory to His name because He lives. Amen, church. This is all the songs that we sing and we ought to be joyful in the house today to know that our freedom is in Him and our salvation is in Him and He can secure it because we can't do that. We can't do that. I want to read Romans 8, 38 through 39. Listen to it very carefully and very closely. It is an amazing, amazing passage. Starting in verse 37, it says, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor neither angels nor demons, neither this present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Amen, church. There is nothing that can separate you from the love of God. Once you are in the hands of God, there's nothing that can take that away. There's nothing that can take His love. No power, no might, nothing in this world, nothing in all of creation can take that from you. Isn't that amazing to know? Isn't that secure and assured that you know that your salvation rests in Him and Him alone? I hope you know that this morning. See, God's love is great and nothing can separate us from it. And we'll only find that in Jesus Christ. You can only find that type of love and type of freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. See, we've been set free. See, I hope you all had a great 4th of July weekend celebrating the freedom of our country and our birth date. And I hope you had just a fun celebration with family and fellowship and all those things. But wow, our freedom in Christ is even better. Amen, church? The freedom that we have in the Lord is even better. And I want to talk about that this morning, that we've been set free in Christ, but many times we don't act like it. Many times we don't act like if we've been set free, this amazing gift of freedom. And the question this morning is, how have we been set free? How are we free in Christ? And what are we doing with it? What are we doing with our new freedom in the Lord? Turn to Romans chapter 8 this morning. Romans chapter 8 is where we're going to be. Really, a really amazing chapter. I hope you've read it before because it is foundational to our faith in Jesus Christ. Just a little bit of context is Paul has spent these last chapters explaining how we are saved, how we come to the Lord, how we're saved, how the difference between the old covenant and the new covenant, and how the law has condemned us. Why? Because we can't keep the law. The law is perfect, it is holy, and we're not. We can't keep the law. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that this morning. But Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 1, it is so amazing. What an amazing start. It says, "Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Let's stop here. Is that not an amazing verse to hear? There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Why is that so amazing to hear? Is because Paul there says, "Therefore." That's a very important word. He says, "Therefore." Everything that he had talked about in all the previous chapters, what are those things like in chapter 6 where he says, "For all have fallen short of the glory of God, and for the wages of sin is death, and the law has condemned us, it set us apart from the Lord, it were so far away because of our sin." But there he says in verse 1 of chapter 8, "Therefore there is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus." What an amazing news that is, church. What an amazing news to know that there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. If that's true, then outside of Christ Jesus, there is condemnation. But praise the Lord if you have Christ Jesus in your life. Praise the Lord if you've been saved, because then you can say this promise from the Lord. There is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. This is amazing news because it says here to us that we were once guilty. Paul does this many times. It's almost as if we're in a courtroom. And we're guilty. And not only are we guilty, but we have the death penalty. For, again, I'll say, for the wages of sin is death. We all have a we all are guilty and we're headed to prison. We're headed to hell. We're headed to condemnation. But praise the Lord for this verse that says that there is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. You're not guilty anymore. Amen, church. If you have Christ Jesus in your life, you're no longer guilty anymore. You're free in Jesus Christ. And I hope that is encouraging to know. I hope that is amazing. And let me just push it just a little bit further for us this morning. Is Jesus didn't just make us better or less condemned. We're not just a little bit not as guilty as we were before. He completely transformed your life from not guilty, from guilty to not guilty. You stand not condemned. You have a new standing. We're going to talk a little bit more about that as we continue to go further. Maybe you're here and you're asking, how is that even possible? Right? You know you're guilty. You know you've broken the law. You know you don't stand before God and holy and righteous. You know these things. And maybe you're asking how. Go to verse 2 because it's just as powerful as verse 1. It says, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Is that not amazing? Is that not amazing, church? To know that the Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death. What does that mean? See, it's very important to understand what this word law means, right? He's going to go back and forth in this chapter. Law means the Mosaic law or these rules and the Ten Commandments, but it also means power. And so I want to read this again with this understanding that the law means power. He says, because through Christ Jesus, the power of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the power of sin and death. That should be encouraging us for this morning to know that we have been set free from the power of sin and death in our life. Because of what? Because of the Holy Spirit in our life. This Holy Spirit dwells within us, and now we can say, I've been set free from the power of sin and death in my life. I hope you can say that this morning. It's very important. See, we couldn't live the way God wants us to live without the power of the Spirit in our life. He's given us life. Amen, church? Life more abundant, eternal life. Something that we couldn't do on our own. See, the power of sin and death is something you can't conquer on your own. It's not something I can conquer or defeat in my life. It's only by the power of God's Spirit. It's only by the power of Christ in my life that I can say I no longer am subject or under this law of sin and death. It is by the Spirit we've been given life. And maybe you're asking, well, how have we been set free then? How are we not condemned? We see that the Spirit's given us life and the power over sin and death. And then maybe you're asking, well, how have we been set free? Well, he answers that in verse 3. He says, for what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemns sin in the flesh. What is being talked about? Maybe this is a little bit confusing, so let's break it up this morning. Is the law was powerless to remove sin and death? This is what he says, for what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh. What's he saying? He's not saying that the law wasn't good, for Paul already answered this question in the previous chapter. No, the law is good, it's holy, it's pleasing, it shows us sin, it shows us where we've done wrong, it shows us how to live for Christ. Those are all amazing and good things in our life, but why was it weakened? It says it was weakened by the flesh. See, the law isn't weak, we're weak. We can't keep the law. It was weakened in the way that because we couldn't keep it. We couldn't keep all the laws and become be made holy and perfect because of our sinful desires. See, the law is good and perfect, but we aren't. We make the law weak in its ability to save us. Because we can't keep it. And praise the Lord. Listen to me, church. Praise the Lord. God knew that. Praise the Lord. He knows that we can't keep the law. So what did he do then? What's it say? It says, what the law was powerless to do, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh. What is Paul saying here? He's saying God did what we couldn't do. How did he do it? He said he sent Jesus. He sent the Son of God to live like us, But praise the Lord, He was perfect, and He is the perfect sin offering, and so He condemned sin in the flesh. This is where it can be a little bit difficult, but I just want to throw this out here. It's John 3:16. Many of you know what it says. What does it say? It says, For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. What an amazing, amazing verse to know this morning is John 3:16. I pray you do know it, because God loved us so much that He knew we couldn't do it, so He did it for us. So He sent the Lord for us. Why? So that, this is tough, so that Jesus could be condemned in our place. Praise the Lord that Jesus took our place. He took our judgment. He took our punishment. He took what we deserved on the cross. Praise the Lord. Amen. For glory to His name. Thank You for the blood. All the songs we sing point to exactly what we're talking about this morning, is because Jesus shed His blood so that we didn't have to. We didn't have to. And maybe you're saying, well, why did He do it? Why did He do it? Well, verse 4 says, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Why did Jesus stay in our place, or why did He stand in our place, or take our judgment and our debt, so that the righteous requirement of the law might be met in us? Fulfilled in us. For Jesus said, I have not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. This is exactly what He has done. And see, the law demands two things, really, is obedience and punishment for those who don't keep it. Well, Jesus kept the law. He kept it perfectly. And when you ask Jesus to come into your life, the Bible says His righteousness is poured out on you. Jesus fulfills and obeys the law through you. We keep the law not by our actions, but because Christ is in us. This is foundational to our faith, because you can't do it. So Christ does it for us. And number two, like I said, is Jesus paid the penalty for our disobedience. This is how God can be loving and just. Right? The law demands justice for those who break it. But praise the Lord, we serve a God who is full of mercy and grace, who knew we couldn't keep it and loved us so much that He didn't want us to go through the punishment. So He sent His Son for us. And Jesus voluntarily gave up His life. Why? For God so loved the world. Church, did you hear what I said? For God so loved the world. God loves you. See, the law is fully met in us, not by us. That's a very important word that's being talked about in verse 4. It says, the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, not by us. You can't do it. You can't meet the law's requirements. But Christ can. And He lives in us. And He lives in us. And maybe you're saying, well, maybe this doesn't make any sense. Well, did God just randomly do this? Or was it kind of like just one day He decided, well, I'm gonna send my Son? No, this is since the beginning. Jeremiah writes about a prophecy in Jeremiah 31, starting in verse 31. It says, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand and led them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Praise the Lord that we are no longer under the law, but we're under grace. We're under Christ. For there's a new covenant, church. A new covenant. One that is written on our hearts and in our minds. How is that possible? Well, the Bible describes Him as the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who dwells in us. Now we have the ability to keep the law. To go after the things of God. Now, I just shared four verses, church. Four verses that are so foundational to our faith. So foundational to our faith and our freedom in Christ. So now we're going to look at the question, is what are you doing with it? If God has done all this for you, if there's no longer any condemnation, and now we're set free from the power of sin and death, and God sent His Son to be condemned for us, to stand in our place, to take on the punishment, to take on our debt, and now He's fulfilled the law through us, what are you doing with it? What are you doing with your new freedom? Verse 5, it says, those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's laws, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. What's being said here is really, really, here we see two polar opposites, right? We have those that walk in accordance to the flesh and those who walk in accordance to the Spirit. Well, what does a person look like whose mind is set on the fleshly desires, right? This person doesn't care to please God. They don't care about the things of God. In fact, it says here that the mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It's complete opposite of the mind of God. It's an enemy of God. Right? The Bible says we can't serve two masters. And we really all have this battle between these two masters, right? Our flesh and our spirit. Well, when we go out in the flesh and we do fleshly things, it's hostile to God. It's destructive. It leads to death. A person who is governed by their flesh leads to destruction and death. This is a person who cares about just themselves. Or even it's a person who may do good things, but out of self-righteousness. Look at me, it's very prideful. I'm good, right? I can take care of things on my own. I don't commit sins. I don't fall short. This is a person that's governed by their flesh. They say, I'm good enough. And they don't focus on spiritual things. They focus on earthly things. What are those earthly things? Pleasures of this world. Money, success, power. Those types of things. That is what takes their time and what they think about and what they desire and what they go after, what they pursue. And then he says there's a mind of the Spirit. What does he say? It says a mind of the Spirit, or those whose mind is set of the Spirit, receives life and peace. The exact opposite of our flesh, right? Life and peace. This person puts the Lord first in their life. A person who is governed by the Spirit puts the Lord first in their life. They pray to the Lord. They read the Word. They want to know God more and more in their life. They seek after the things of God. This is a person who doesn't make excuses for the wrongs that they commit. Rather, they go to the Lord who they know who can heal them. They go to the Lord who knows who can forgive them in their life. They confess their sins before the Lord. They turn to repentance. This person loves their neighbor, right? This is a person who loves God with all their heart, soul, and mind. This is also a person who loves their neighbor as themselves. They care about other people. They share the good news with them. They share, like verse 1, there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. They share those things to their neighbor. They ask the Lord before doing things. They don't just jump to their fleshly desires. They ask the Lord, is this the direction you want me to go? They seek to please the Lord in their everyday life. The question really comes down to is, where do you fall? Where do you fall? Do you fall into the category of, are you a person that continually gratifies your flesh? Are you a person who seeks after the things of God? Are you a person who seeks after the things of the Spirit? Verse 9 says, you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but you are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. Do you understand what's being said here in these few verses? That because Christ lives in you, you now belong to Christ. Because Christ lives in you, you're going to be raised like Christ was raised. I hope you know that, because it's all by the Spirit of Christ. It's nothing you can do. Why do we keep trying to earn our way to heaven? Why do we keep trying to do all these things in order to get a pat on the back, or to try to get up, or try to, maybe you think that you're going to get a higher place in heaven? That's not how it works, because it's all done by Christ. It's nothing you're doing. It's nothing you're doing. I love the very beginning because it says that we no longer live in the realm of the flesh. We no longer live in the realm of the flesh, but of the Spirit. Before we had no choice, church, we had no choice but to live in the flesh. But now you have a choice to seek after the things of God because Christ is living in you. You have the choice to do all these amazing things for the Lord because now the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, is in you, right? The flesh has no hold on the one walking in the Spirit. I hope you know that this morning, is that the flesh has no hold. So don't keep going back to the flesh. Don't keep gratifying the desires of the flesh because you're not in the realm of the flesh anymore. You're in the realm of the Spirit if Christ dwells in you. And this is an amazing picture. Look at the contrast for a minute because this is an amazing picture of God's fellowship. Christ's fellowship with us is very in the beginning. It says that we were in Christ. It says in verse 1 that for there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. But what does it say in these passages? That now Christ, but if Christ is in you, right? We are in Christ and Christ is in us. Isn't that an amazing fellowship, church? Isn't that an amazing thing to know that we have fellowship with God? That not only are we in Him, but He is in us. We are one with Him. I hope you know that this morning. You may be asking, well, why is this even important? Why is it important to be in Christ and in Christ in you? What does he say here? He says the Spirit gives us life. The Spirit gives us life. And he says, but if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life. Life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. Why is this so important to know? Because we all have a death date. Every single one of us. Unless the Lord willing, He comes back and He takes us up with Him. But if not, if He doesn't come before, then we all have a death date. And this is what Paul is saying. Because of sin in our life, because of the fall from the very beginning, now we all have a death date. That's something you got to grapple with. That's something you have to think about. That's something you have to think intently about because we all are going to wrestle with that question is what happens when we die? Well, he answers that, doesn't he? He says those that are in Christ are going to be raised again. Church, come on. If you really understood that, I would have heard a hallelujah and amen or something. Something. I know you all are probably trying to be polite and listen. You all are listening. Praise, thank you for listening. But give an amen or something to hear that God is going to raise you back to life. To raise your mortal bodies back to life because of His Spirit that's in you. Praise the Lord, it's not something you can do because you can't do enough. I'll keep saying, I hope it's repetitive this morning. You can't do enough. But praise the Lord, His Spirit dwells in you for those who ask. For those who ask. Ephesians 1, 13 through 14 says, in Him you also, when you heard the word of truth in the gospel of your salvation and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to praise to the praise of His glory. Amen, church. I hope you understand this verse this morning because when you come to salvation, God seals you with His Holy Spirit. It's a guarantee. You can rest assured. You can know for 100% fact that you are going to get your inheritance in heaven. That God will raise you from the dead. It's not a wishful thing. It's not, I hope I make it. Praise the Lord. It's not one of those. But praise the Lord, it's a guarantee, a stamp, a seal of approval that this one belongs to Christ. This one belongs to me. Wow, I hope you can glory in your freedom this morning. Verse 12 says, therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it's not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the material, misdeeds of the body, you will live. What is he saying here? He says, you no longer have an obligation to the flesh. You did have an obligation to the flesh. You did. We all did before Christ. But now you don't have an obligation to the flesh. You have nothing to do with the flesh anymore. But of the Spirit, now you have an obligation to the Spirit for all that he has done in your life, for every good gift he's given you, every peace, every blessing, salvation in your life. We have an obligation now to serve him in the Spirit of the Lord that is living inside of us. And we can be tempted this morning to think our flesh leads to life, to leads to these good and pleasurable things. And it may lead to those things, but can I promise you that it will only be for a moment. It will pass away and you will be left unsatisfied. You'll be left with nothing. But praise the Lord that when we walk in the Spirit, when we live according to the Spirit, we have life and eternal life, blessings upon blessings that last forever. That last forever. See, the Bible says you are a new creation. The old is gone. Simple as that, church. You're a new creation. The old is gone. You are not like you were before, or you shouldn't be. You shouldn't act. You shouldn't talk. You shouldn't do the things you used to do when you were obligated to the flesh. You should do new things. Good things. Godly things. Though that's what where your obligation is. Like I said, there's this battle between two masters. And the Bible says you can't serve two masters. You have a choice. You choose your flesh or you choose the Spirit. And oh, wow, do I pray that we choose the Spirit this morning. That we choose life. We choose life. He frees us from the power. Now listen, this is what we've already learned. I want you to pay attention closely. What have we learned of the Spirit so far? That the Spirit frees us from the power of sin and death. The Spirit gives us life and peace. And He raises and redeems our mortal bodies. And praise the Lord if it ended there. Amen, church? Praise the Lord if it ended there. But wow, does it not end there? Verse 14, it says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. Is this not amazing to know, church? Is this not amazing to understand this morning that not only does the Spirit free us from the power of sin and death and give us life and peace and raise and redeem our mortal bodies, but oh wow, so much more is that He adopts us into sonship, and now we can call God our Father. And it's not just Father, it's Abba Father. Why is that so significant and important to understand this morning? Because this is what little children call their father. It's a close father. It's an intimate father. It's a good father. Why is it important to know that we are children of God? Well, what does he say? I want to put this in perspective for us this morning. Is that you were once slaves, but now you are children of God. That is amazing, is it not? That you were once a slave, but now a child of God. That's a complete 180. A complete 180. A complete transformed status. Right? I said we have no condemnation in Christ, for Christ has completely transformed our status. Well, now what is our status? Well, he says it right here. We're children of God. We're children of God. We've been set free from the bondage of sin and death, and now God calls us a child. Why is that so important to know this morning? Well, number one, it means we have a father. It means we actually have a father. Sometimes we think God is just this person with a gavel, doing this or that. But for those that belong to Christ, He's our Father. Our Abba Father. Right? A close Father. One who cares about us. For the Bible says, cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for us. That's who our Father is. He's a good Father. A loving Father. An amazing Father. And number two, what does it mean that we're now called children of God? Well, it means that we have a new name. Right? This is my sister and my brother-in-law. They did fostering and they adopted two boys. Those two boys, what did they do? They took on the name of my brother-in-law. Right? They changed their last name. Why is that so important to know? Well, for one, God has a pretty good name. But not only that, especially then and even now today, is when you become, when you come into sonship or you come into adoption, you get the privileges of that family. Right? What are some of those privileges for us? It's forgiveness, church. Because we have a new name in Christ, we now have forgiveness and we have peace and we have love and grace and mercy. We have guidance and wisdom and knowledge and understanding beyond anything that we can comprehend this morning. And we have eternal life and life more abundantly. Even as we live here on earth, God gives us life more abundantly when we follow Him. That's what it means to have a new name in Jesus Christ. That's what it means to belong to Jesus Christ. That's what it means to call God our Father. And number three is an inheritance. Inheritance. Verse 16 says, "The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And now if we are children, then we are heirs, and heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in His sufferings, in order that we may also share in His glory." What is He talking about? He's talking about our inheritance. If we are co-heirs with Christ, we receive an inheritance. Well, what is this inheritance? Well, in short, it's heaven. Praise the Lord, amen? That's our inheritance. Our inheritance is heaven, but also it's the blessings that are there. It's the blessings that are there. It's treasure that's stored up. The Bible talks about these crowns. We don't have time to go through all these crowns and all these things that the Bible describes that are in heaven, but there's treasure in heaven. Jesus says He's preparing a place for us. This is all part of your inheritance if you're in Jesus Christ, if you belong to the Lord Almighty. Why is this so awesome? Why is this such an awesome piece? Why is this inheritance so amazing? Because this is an inheritance that doesn't perish, spoil, or fade. See, maybe some of you are blessed enough to have an inheritance while you're here. Some people do, right? When someone passes on, they leave a house or money or clothes or some of you are like, yeah, garage full of a bunch of stuff. But what's so interesting about the difference is our inheritance here, even as amazing as it may be. Maybe you have someone in your family that's got lots and lots of money. Can I tell you, it won't last? It will run away. It will run out. And if someone leaves you a home, praise the Lord if that happens in your life. That is a blessing. But that house will soon, at some point, it will fade away. It will be destroyed, sold to somebody else. Whatever may happen to the house, it won't last forever. It won't. Maybe it's even clothes or even something special to your heart. Praise the Lord, again, if someone leaves that to you. But can I tell you, even clothes will fade. Even clothes will someday be ruined or thrown away, or whatever. But that inheritance in heaven that God promises every believer that belongs to Him never spoils, perishes, or fades. That's an amazing blessing in our life. I hope you know that this morning. See, verse 16, though, it is so important. Like I said, what have we already learned? We learned that the Spirit frees us from sin and death. The Spirit gives us life and peace. The Spirit redeems our mortal bodies. The Spirit calls us a child of God, makes us a child of God. And the last one is the Spirit gives us assurance. What does verse 16 say? It says, "The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children." Like I said, you can rest assured that if the Holy Spirit dwells in you, then you are bought, sealed, bought with the blood of Jesus. That can't be taken away. No one can pluck you out of the hand of God. For again, I'll say, what shall separate us? Nothing. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. That's awesome and amazing. How can you know if you're saved this morning? Really, only this is if the Holy Spirit dwells in you. It's not by any word you say. It's not by anything you can do. It's by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in your life. Maybe you're asking, well, how do I know if He's there? Well, for one, you can ask the Lord for Him. You can ask the Lord for the Holy Spirit in your life. And then you can question, Lord, am I living my life for You? Right? Praise the Lord, when the Holy Spirit dwells in us, He doesn't leave us the same. Right? We're different. We look different. We act different. We say different things. I hope that is your testimony this morning, because that is confirmation that the Holy Spirit does dwell in you. The Holy Spirit gives us security that we really are the children of God. I hope you can have peace this morning knowing that if I have the Holy Spirit, then I am good in the sight of God. You're not if you don't. I'm not if I don't. If the Holy Spirit doesn't dwell in me, I stand with my own sin, my own shame, my own guilt, and my own conviction. And that's mine. But if the Spirit dwells in me, it's no longer mine anymore. It's His. He takes it. He removes it. Cast it as far as the east is from the west. Now I want you to listen to verse 1 one more time. I know I've said it a lot, but I want it to sink in this morning. Therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Can I get an amen, church? Amen. Now you know why you're free or how you've been free. Again, I'll ask you, what are you doing with it? Are you still living your old way of life? For again, I'll say you've been bought by the Lord Jesus Christ. Why are we still living as if we haven't been bought? Or Christ hasn't done an amazing work in our life? Or Christ hasn't saved us from the pit of hell? Why are we still acting as if we're old when we've been made new? Why are we still acting as if we've been a slave when we've been set free? Church, we have no business doing that, for we're no longer in the realm of the flesh. But praise the Lord, we're in the realm of the Spirit this morning. So you might be a believer today who is living in their flesh, wasting their freedom. We've all probably been there in our life where we've made mistakes, we've fallen short, we've sinned before a holy God. Well, praise the Lord, the Bible says, for if we confess with our mouth, we confess our sins before the Lord, He's faithful and just to forgive us of all sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise the Lord, we serve that kind of Father this morning. See, if you're wasting your freedom, it's time to set your mind on the things of the Spirit. It's time to be governed by the Spirit. And you can only do that by the power of the Spirit in you. So that asks the question this morning is, do you actually have the Spirit in your life this morning? Does the Holy Spirit dwell in you? Because if it doesn't, today the day to ask God for, Lord, I want Your Spirit. Lord, I want You to dwell inside me. I want You to change my life. I want You to put me on the solid rock of Your Son, Jesus Christ. I want to trust Him with my whole life for salvation. Maybe that's for you today. Wow, what a wonderful day it would be if you gave your life to Jesus Christ, because your life will never be the same. Amen, church? So let me ask you, church, what are you doing with your freedom? Let's stand, church.